Jim Bobbitt is the greatest spectacle in racing, and it now includes the greatest tequila in the world. Welcome to race day.
Buddy, we are breaking out the El Bandito here in Indianapolis for the Indianapolis 500. I tell you what, we've already made about what, Dave? You figure 100,000 new friends?
350,000 and counting. So,
well, I said the day's early, Dave. We've only met 100,000. We still got the rest of the day.
The bandwagon is growing. We got to get some extra seats on the bandwagon. And before we let you get back to all that action here at the track, talk about what it is. Certainly Indy 500, great spectacle, but all forms of racing, El Bandito Yankee is the official tequila of race day.
We are the official tequila race day. And does it get any more American than the Indy 500, buddy? Let me tell you something. I mean, we are represented here. I mean, every race, every creed, every religion has walked past us. I go, this is the true sport of America. I mean, it's just thriving right here in the heartland. I'm so glad and proud to be a part of it.
You think about all that action on the track here of the Indianapolis 500. All week long, though, El Bandito Yankee has been trackside with our tail greeter, tequila trackside tailgates. And talk about that, providing fans not only an opportunity to enjoy it during the race, but at all those big events all week long.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's a pleasure being in the racing community. You know, we race dirt track. We've got our relationship with Harvick and Larson on the other dirt tracks and sprint car. Then we've got our NASCAR connection, and then we've got our NHRA. And here we are now at one of the biggest and the best of all of them, the Indy 500. And we've got the Andretti's over there. We've got about a half a dozen other great team members here. I mean, I tell you what, this place right here, I have a lot of love for this place, man. There's a lot of love here.
You know, Mario Andretti, one of those legends in the sport, he'll be on the show. Told him I was going to be talking with you. He said, make sure to say hi to Jim Bob. And we're doing that now as you say hi to all those listeners for WGN, the original voice of the Indy 500. So, Jim Bob, we'll let you get back to all that fun, and we'll see you after the race in Victory Lane.
But I tell you what, I plan on being in Victory Lane. And see you, buddy. Break out the Bandito.
All right. Thanks, Jim Bob. Happy race day.
Win, lose, or fail, you have to admire somebody who's going to try, right? And I think that's been the story of my career. Is like, I'll always give it a go, and I'll always give it my best shot. And I don't have the experience in the stock car that 90% of the field does, but I do have a lot of experience in other things. And I think it's fun to try and make that transition over. It's something that I've always wanted to do. And honestly, like, it's something I've worked really hard for. So I think that people can get behind that underdog story, you know, and I really did appreciate the support that I got. And it's something different. It gives somebody something to cheer for. It's like, I remember when I was a kid and I went to some like touring car races with my dad at the local racetrack, and they had Renaults and Vauxhalls and like all the car brands that I grew up seeing on the road, and they had personalities driving them. So you would choose like your favorite brand and your favorite driver, and you'd have somebody to cheer for. And I think we need to bring that back into racing. I think NASCAR has a lot of that, right? You know, you can relate to Chevrolet, and you can relate to, I don't know, your favorite driver. They all have personalities, whereas like F1 these days, for example, is getting kind of emoteless, and they're all very robotic. And so I think that people need to see the personalities behind the steering wheel. And I think that having a female driver, an experienced female driver that a lot of women can relate to, because we're not just racing in front of guys now, you know, like the demographic's shifting, and a lot of women like racing too. And so even the guys there with their daughters and their kids, you know, it's just, it's different, and it's great that I feel so much love, honestly.
Yeah. You think about that whole, if you can see it, you can be it kind of thing. As you mentioned your dad and kind of growing up, that was one of the things that I wanted to ask, because people are going to see you, girls are going to see you, people are going to see you, and they're going to say, I want to be a race car driver. But for you growing up, maybe you didn't have as much of that out there in the world for you to see. Was it your dad? Was that the inspiration? And at what point? Because it's one thing for people to say, oh, I want to do something cool. Maybe I want to be an astronaut. But to make it real, what was it for you, or who was it that made it real for you?
That's a very good question, because of course it was my dad. You know, without your parents, I don't think you can probably be a race car driver, because you need to be in a go-kart, and you need to be in a go-kart every weekend. And I was very lucky. Both of my parents kind of brought me up to believe that I could be anything that I wanted to be if I worked hard enough at it. And so I don't think at age 9 I wanted to be a race car driver because I didn't have anybody who was doing it. In England, like you had Linton James over here, you had Janet Guthrie, and then later obviously Sarah Fisher, but we didn't have that in the UK. There was one girl who was racing go-karts, and she was probably 12 when I was 9. And I looked at her and I was like, if she can do it, I can do it. Like, this is awesome. And so I think you do need those, not role models per se, but examples. Mm-hmm. And I think that was an important thing. And I think that my dad not believing that I should be treated any differently because I was a girl and supporting me as such, you know, even when the other dads were like, oh, you got beaten by a girl to their kids. My dad was like, ugh, just ignore him. So I was very fortunate that I got the opportunity. And then I never actually thought I wanted to be a race car driver because I never thought it would be possible to do it for a job, for a living. And I still don't see it as a job. I still just think I'm incredibly blessed to be able to go racing some weekends. And I just kept on keeping on. Like, I just never gave up. And I just kept on, even when you get hit and you get knocked down 17 times, tenacity gets you 90% of the way there. So that would be also my advice to anybody doing anything. Like, it's going to suck and you're going to get knocked down. But if you want it badly enough, you will find a way to make it happen.
Yeah. Racing is something you definitely have to be hardwired to do, to sustain, to succeed. And that's it. I think that's all part of it, too, is that perseverance. So sports cars, Formula E, NASCAR, IndyCar, Formula One, you've raced them all. Some drivers, you know, like Mario Andretti, AJ Foyt, maybe Tony Stewart can get into any car and drive, but most drivers can't. For you, what is it that's made you excited about all the other series or restless, right, to race everything? And for stock cars, you know, what's the appeal?
I think I've always wanted to do more stock car stuff. I drove an Xfinity car at a handful of road courses, I think like 2017, and I loved it so much. But what it is you have to, it's so much work to do any one series. Like, it is not easy to do multiple disciplines just because of the nature of the work involved in getting to the first discipline, right? So, and I was the same. I kind of came about it a different way. I came about it out of necessity because I didn't have a big sponsor that was going to follow me wherever I wanted to go. I had to take whatever rides were offered to me and available at the time. And so I drive a lot of bad race cars, just trying to prove myself and make my way through. But then I drove a lot of really good race cars too. So I don't regret the way I did it. I would probably do it slightly differently next time, but you know, I'm not at the beginning of my career by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm not at the end of it either. I've got a couple of good years left in me yet. So why not? If I'm in the privileged position where I can try and make the big cool races happen, why not try that? It's a lot, but I love it. And so I will keep on keeping on.
Yeah. And to see it as that adventure, right, to be able to do it. And of course, right, if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. It's almost impossible. And you look back at the career, and you mentioned it's still a lot of career left to go. You feel like you've done a lot so far, and you have, but I feel that this is, for Catherine Legg, an opportunity to introduce yourself to so many new fans at this part of your career. You know, you've got all of that street cred and experience and talent, but for a lot of people, this is their first opportunity to meet Catherine Legg. And I think there's going to be a lot of people excited to have you there. You mentioned sponsors. I think more than any other professional sport, sponsors are essential, right, to make it happen. All sponsors are good, but some sponsors, absolutely, I think are better, or maybe even more fun. For you, for sponsors, like, what is it that you look for in a partner? Because I feel Catherine Legg is a unique opportunity for sure.
I think it's definitely authenticity, right? So at Indy a couple of years ago, Elf Cosmetics came on board and really changed the landscape. And I would even say it's not a stretch to say that they changed the landscape of sponsorship and racing. Like, Elf, it has a cult following, and they're such a unique, amazing brand that it just worked. I felt like it was incredibly authentic to me and who I was, and trying to be feminine but still trying to kick butt in a race car. And the support that I got from all the ladies around the track was just phenomenal. You know, it was this whole movement and it was powerful. And it really, I mean, even when I think about it, I'll talk about it now, it was really special. And I really think that it was a point in time that we can all look back on and think, okay, that really did change the landscape for racing.
When it comes to the Indy 500, and we mentioned just how hard it is to get into that race and to be a part of it, but to succeed in ways in 2023, you set new qualifying records for female drivers. Talk about that. And so WGN Radio, you know, has a unique connection with the Indy 500. We were the first radio station to ever broadcast it. And so that connection is super authentic there. But talk about it for you, like as an event in general, for those people that may not have ever been to it. And then just this opportunity for you to even make more history.
It is the biggest sporting event in the world. I can say categorically, like there are 300,000 people that show up and there is no other sporting event that even comes close, not even the Super Bowl, right? So I think that it makes it the most special. It gives it a vibe. You drive into Indianapolis on race day and you can't help but feel the energy shift and the it's indescribable. Honestly, until you've been there as a fan, as a driver, as a mechanic, as a team member, whatever it is, when you drive in, it means something different to everybody. And I remember the first year that I went was 2005, and I drove under that tunnel with the team that I was racing for, but I wasn't racing in the 500. I was racing in the Sport Series. And I just remember thinking, this is the coolest thing ever. Like, I want to do this. And then it just gets under your skin and you want to do it and you want to do it in a competitive car. And yeah, it's amazing.
Last thing is, you know, you got the podcast. We see you on national TV all over the place, exciting stuff. So where can fans go to keep up?
I would say, obviously, yes, thanks for plugging my podcast there. It's Throttle Therapy with Catherine Legg, and you can get it anywhere where you get podcasts. And it's kind of a random barrage of what I'm doing racing wise, my personal life on the lake, and just, you know, people have been influential in my career and in the racing world in general. So it's kind of all over the place at the moment. And I love that about it. And then really I'm most active on, I would say, Instagram's probably the Catherine Racing, the best place where you get an idea of what I'm doing on a daily basis, because they make me live stream my life. So you get an idea of, oh, I just got back from the gym. Oh, I'm doing this. Oh, I'm having a coffee. So Instagram probably.
Oh, we'll have links for all of it at WGNradio.com. Catherine, thanks so much for what you're doing. Thanks for being part of everything that's going on and in generating additional excitement around motorsports and everything. And thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thanks for having me. It was lovely chatting with you.
Catherine Legg starting from the 26th position here at the 110th running of the Indianapolis 500 and hoping to get the opportunity to be the first woman to do the double and make it out to the Coca-Cola 600 in Charlotte. Weather will have something to say about that. We are going to take a break and we come back more live trackside from the Indy 500. It's Dane here, 720 WGN. 720 WGN live trackside as we head into the 110th running of the Indianapolis 500 and electric here. There is absolutely nothing like it. We've got our sports guy, Tony DiNardis. Tony, have you ever been to the Indy 500? It's one of those bucket list things. I'm sure as a sports guy, you'll make it here if you haven't yet. But where are you with that?
I have never actually been there, Dane. I actually have a couple buddies that are down there right now. They've been down there all weekend, and I think they just headed over there a little bit ago.
It's the craziest thing. So we didn't go on live until 9 o'clock Chicago time, 10 o'clock this time. I had to get here around 5 a.m. in order to make sure that, number one, had a parking spot. They'll block off the streets. It's absolute mayhem. It's not the kind of thing, you know, let's say a Bears game, you can go a few hours before. You really got to plan ahead.
I was going to say, how long usually do people line up before the Indy or anything to get in?
It's hours and hours, you know, so people will start. The roads were pretty packed. It was like a normal traffic at about 4:45, 5 a.m. Lots of traffic getting in here. The lots were pretty full. People, you know, who know what they're doing definitely plan for it. And those who don't are kind of left on the outside. It's tough.
Yeah, I was going to comment. I know you were just talking about the double with Catherine Legg, and you were talking with Wendy the other day about it. And it is pretty fascinating to me. You said it, she'd be the first woman to complete it, but is that really even that frequent, especially on the men's side either?
No. There's only been six people that have attempted it, and she's doing that today. And no one else other than Tony Stewart is the only one in history who's ever actually completed both races. So it is difficult. You got to have that talent. You got to have the aptitude. The cars are very, very different, of course.
Right.
And then just logistically, because you can be, Kyle Larson did really well here on the qualifying side and in the IndyCar, but rain got in the way, and so the timing just didn't work out because you've got all that distance between the two tracks, and then anything can happen, right? You can be having a great day, and there's a wreck or a caution or something happens, or, like I said, weather, and it can derail the entire thing. So we'll see. I know it's raining up by you guys. It looks clear here today, and so I think we've got a good chance. I think she's got a good chance to get it done.
It'll be fun. Hopefully the weather cooperates down there the rest of the day for you.
All right, thanks, Tony. And stay tuned, because coming up after the break, we've got the man who's looking to make even more history. So we're going to have a bunch of different history always happening here. The driver on the Drive for Five, Elio Castroneves, is going to join us as we lead up to the 110th running of the Indianapolis 500 right here on 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Mario Andretti, and the Indy 500 is back home again on WGN.
As we close in on the 110th running of the Indianapolis 500, the biggest one-day sporting event in the world. There's no star bigger than Elio Castroneves on the Drive.
Wow.
For five.
Thank you.
In a recent conversation, they were talking a little bit about what you said, a little bit of wisdom in there that you've had from years past that say that you don't choose the track chooses you. And one of the things, when they said, well, what was your most memorable race? And I know that we've asked you, fans have asked you, hey, what's your favorite? That kind of thing. And for you to say that your most memorable race was the 2003 race that you got second, right, to Gil DeFerrin, is that crazy? People always say that you learn more from defeat than you do from victory. Talk a little bit about that. That one haunts.
Yeah, no, I tell you, I started in the pole position. I led basically the entire race, and about 20 laps to go, I got a back marking, and I decided, because I had a 5-second lead, decided to take it easy, not take a chance, because of those 20 laps to go still. And unfortunately, the back marker also understood and kind of like slowed down too much. So we both end up making sort of like from sixth gear to third gear, because we thought, you know, I was going to go in. I thought he was gonna not going in, so it was one of those scenarios. And when it came out of turn two, Gio passed me like I was stopped on the traffic light, you know. And unfortunately, several yellows happens, and I couldn't pass him back. So it was really frustrating, because that would be three in a row. It would be fantastic, but You gotta learn how to read those things, and it wasn't meant to be. I guess it wasn't meant to be. That's why I said the track picks the winner, because the year before I was almost a lap down,
yes,
and we took a gamble and we won a race. So yeah, it's crazy.
Each one takes on like such a life of its own. It's one of those things where people try to pick winners or prognosticate or even go by what the practice is. Mm-hmm. When that flag drops, it takes on an entire life of its own, and you never know what is going to happen. I also mentioned, I remember when you had said, like, nothing goes wrong. You know, sometimes, and there's so many things, whether it's the weather or whether it's the calls or whether it's the crew or equipment or anything like that, something goes wrong. How often, Elio, were you have it where you was like, I wouldn't have done anything different?
No, exactly. And in the end of the day, like a few years ago, we raced until 8 o'clock in the evening. If you were to tell me in 26 years that I'm coming in, would you race at night here? It's like, no, that's impossible. But we did. So every year that I'm coming by, that I not only feel that I have the opportunity to be battle for the win or to chase that number five, you know, that's what motivates me to come back. And every year is different. Every year there is something, you know, that you gotta reset the button, start all over again, still check the list that you have. That's what I do. So they eliminate the opportunities to go wrong and seeing amplify the opportunities to go right.
In 2003, you shared a little bit of that immortality that is the Indy 500 with Gil DeFerrin. If you were able number five. Nobody has done it the last time. I mean, it's been decades since anyone has come close except for you. If you get that, like, what will that mean? I mean, it would be rarefied air. You would be alone in the pantheon of the Indy 500.
I feel that so many people like to see history, fans, because, look, in the end of the day, this is not just a race, not just Indy 500. This is part of the, you know, Indiana people life. This is generations of generation. I feel that, and I heard stories that people been coming here when their grandfather been coming. Now they're bringing their children here. So it's part of celebrating an important date for them. And that's why when you're celebrating something and you all of a sudden see history happening, that's why people are excited about that. I'm very honored to be in this position, of course. And I tell those fans and especially the people that care about it, I will do everything I can. When I put my helmet on and strap in that car, that Cliffs Machine car, trust me, people, I will be giving everything I can to get that number five.
Very last thing, when you think about everything that you bring to this, the star power, the opportunity for people to witness history along with you, but you also bring so much of that experience. Well, last time we talked, you said part of what it is that you bring, the experience, is the ability to communicate to your crew, right? Instead of someone wondering what's happening and everyone figuring it out, you can know what is happening. They've talked in other forms of racing, mm-hmm. The cars have become advanced now where a lot of the drivers have no idea how the cars work. Just your mm-hmm. thoughts on that, understanding how the car works to be able to communicate.
Look, in the end of the day, yes, even for myself that I have experience, you have to adapt. You have to update your computer. You can't be running a computer from 2001, right? It's not going to work. But in the end of the day, that's the feeling that you have of what it needs to be done, you know, to when you go out there, you'll be prepared as much as you can, because new situation might happen. That's what I try to, you know, talk to my group. In fact, this morning I was just talking to them and say, look, this is what I need. I want everybody to be part of this, because if everybody knows what's going on, it's much better communication when something out of the ordinary, they need to be prepared to go to unexpected. And that's the reason I keep coming back. But I also have open mind to learn. Hybrid is something that I, you know, only experienced last year. This year changed a little bit, the way you deploy, the way you regen, all of these details. But so far, I have a great group of people that is able to guide me to the right direction.
Including everyone on the team, and of course, including America, as we ride with you on that Drive for Five. Good luck, Elio.
Thank you so much.
It's race weekend. Break out the Bandito. Make it tequila at the track with El Bandito Yankee, the official tequila of race day. And as we approach America's 250th birthday, let's all raise a toast to the red, white, and blue Weber agave of El Bandito Yankee tequila. With no additives, El Bandito is as smooth as the signings in 1776. Platinum and gold medals all around for the Blanco, Reposado, and Añejo. And for events, recipes, and where to purchase, visit elbanditoyankee.com. Break out the Bandito.
Hey, this is Danny Sullivan, Indy 500 winner and IndyCar champion. The Indy 500 is back home again on WGN.
720 WGN as we close in on the 110th running of the Indianapolis 500. Excited to have, as so many of the fans, 350,000. I think with the infield, maybe close to 400. One of those sellouts, one of the great voices of motorsports, one of the great ambassadors for the sport and for IndyCar, multi-time Indy 500 winner as a driver, as a team owner, the one and only Bobby Rahal. Bobby, welcome. Welcome to your weekend. Welcome to the 500. Welcome to WGN.
Well, thank you. Always great being back. And, you know, obviously being with WGN, it seems to be an annual event here. So, and being from Chicago, you know, it's good to be with you.
Well, happy, you know, they say that you got to be good, got to have opportunity, got to have some good things, maybe some weather, hoping for that, but also some luck. And I'll have, you know, just wanted to remind that
that we have, you know, interviewed you, and then you guys have won the race. So this may be a step in the right direction.
Hey, well, we'll take anything we can get.
Is there anything on the superstition side that you guys have, or anything that you can do as far as whether there's good weather, bad weather? What are your thoughts?
I don't really have any superstitions per se. You know, I don't know about Graham or the other drivers, but not driving, you know, the superstition aspect of it kind of goes away. But you know, we just hope it's a good race for everybody, and you know, it's a good race for the fans in particular. I think it will be, and because it's very very close, very intense, and so yeah, I think it's going to be a great day. I think the weather's going to cooperate. So
the experience, of course, as a driver, not very many people get to do that. You've done it, won it at the highest level as a team owner. Fans, so many. This is the world's largest one-day sporting event. You're here meeting with the fans. They love you. You know, as we were walking in, people were calling out. Talk a little bit about that connection you have with the fans.
Well, I mean, let's face it, it's all about the fans. You know, without them, we wouldn't have racing. And you know, I've been fortunate to have a lot of supporters over the years. And, you know, we don't take that casually. You know, it's a real responsibility of myself, our drivers, you know, to be approachable, to, you know, to be genuine. And I think people respond to that. So, you know, we've always had a good, strong support base, I guess you'd say. And, you know, looking forward to adding to our resume by winning the race.
Adding to the trophy case for sure. Think about this. What do you think as far as the strength of the sport? IndyCar, a huge sellout here, right, as one of its faces of the sport. Of course, Graham as well, you guys. What are your thoughts as far as the popularity these days?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, and not just this year, but last year, the year before, the attendance at events outside of Indy, you know, Road America up in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin, or you know, Mid-Ohio. Of course, Milwaukee, we had a pretty good crowd for the first time back last year. But the attendance numbers at these races has really been through the roof. And we're seeing it continue this year. St. Petersburg, I think, had a record crowd. Long Beach, California, was back where it once was during the supposed heyday of CART. So I think, you know, people appreciate the racing because these guys are really, I mean, they're all young. They stand on the gas. They're gutsy. And, you know, people like that. And so I think IndyCar's in a real good spot and just is continuing to get better. Fox TV is doing a fabulous job with it, building the ratings. So, you know, right now I think this is a good time to be in IndyCar.
Last thing, of course, you get ready for the race. You know, Chicago considers you their favorite son. This is the home team. You guys are the home team for the Chicago area. Obviously, WGN Radio, we reached 38 states in Canada, the first station to ever broadcast the 500. This was it. Just a shout out. Your thoughts, so many people pulling from you, but just for Chicago.
Oh, well, you know, Chicago is a racing town. It always has been, whether it's, you know, the numerous tracks that were around the area for years and of course, you know, close by to Road America, here in Indy. Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody talks about the Motown being as a car central kind of city, but I think Chicago is right there as well. And, you know, it's always great, you know, when you meet people from the area. There's a lot of Chicagoans here at Indy, and for sure it makes it special.
Thanks, Bobby. Good luck with everything. Good luck with the team. Good luck in the 500.
Thanks much.
This is the one you don't miss, the XPEL IndyCar Grand Prix presented by AMR. June 18th through the 21st brings the fastest open-wheel racers in North America to Road America in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin. The speed is unreal, the energy is electric, and the access next level. Bring your friends, grab a spot on the hill, and feel the engine shake your chest. The XPEL IndyCar Grand Prix, June 18th through the 21st. Get tickets at roadamerica.com. That's roadamerica.com. Speed hits different here.
Today for our far-flung forecast, though, in keeping with Memorial Day and the Memorial Day weekend, we go down south to southern Illinois, to Carbondale, Illinois, which has its beginnings in the 1850s and, of course, home to Southern Illinois University these days in Carbondale. But Carbondale is also home to a place called Woodlawn Cemetery, where in April of 1866, one of the first Memorial Day observances took place, honoring veterans of the Civil War at Woodlawn Cemetery. And General John A. Logan, who was a native of Southern Illinois and fought in the Civil War, was the keynote speaker there. He also pushed for an annual holiday holiday, a memorial observance that initially was known as Decoration Day because people would decorate or adorn the graves of the soldiers that had fallen in battle, giving their lives for our country, and later became Memorial Day. And in 1968, during an act of Congress, what we now know as Memorial Day was included in the Uniform Monday Holiday Act, giving us a three-day weekend, Memorial Day, and also for Labor Day. But it had its roots in Carbondale, Illinois, in 1866, thanks to General John A. Logan. Today, cloudy skies in Carbondale, and they do have a chance of rain at 67 there right now.
Swanee, that's important that you mention that. I mean, think about it. People somewhat, I think, lose track of really the origins of the day. And of course, you just shared that and all that great history. But also, you know, that it's Memorial Day. People think about it. You know, a lot of people, if they don't have necessarily military ties or aren't thinking, is it's, you know, it's a celebration. And it is every bit of that, too. It's a great opportunity for family and friends to get together, to do cookouts, to do all that. And
as course, we get into the warmer months, yeah, sure.
Well, I mean, but for Memorial Day, too, and this race weekend, so much fun and excitement, but a lot of, and I'm not sure if all the listeners know that, a lot of recognition for the men and women in uniform. There's a parade here. We usually have the flyover. I think it's going to be the National Guard. Sometimes it's the Thunderbirds or the Blue Angels. And then special recognition because they're also, it's the 250th birthday of the country. So there's right. There's a ton happening on the Memorial Day side with our, I can look out the window right now, so many people out there and a lot of service members at the same time. So, Swanee, weather-wise, you guys, is it raining right there when you look out the windows at the studio?
Well, no, not now, but it was about 3 hours ago, and it was raining pretty hard also, and fog. We had quite a bit of fog this morning, and wow, yesterday afternoon near the lake, driving on DeSable Lakeshore Drive as I was, you could barely see the water in the lake. So with the rain will be moving out. That's the good news. And Tim Joyce, our meteorologist this morning, said that we may have partly to mostly sunny skies this afternoon and a nice day tomorrow here.
I know that your far-flung forecast doesn't fling all the way down to Indianapolis. Our signal, of course, reaches a good portion of the country. Got to tell, for people here and a lot of Chicagoans that have made their way down, they're noticing that it is nice, very pleasant. You know, sometimes it's really hot here, and it's it's kind of nice and cool. I would say it's low 70s, and our Indianapolis race radio team that's going to be taking the broadcast from us in a couple minutes seem pretty confident that it's going to stay clear till about, maybe they're thinking maybe 2-3, we might even miss the whole thing. It's so weird, Swanee, where nobody even wants to mention it.
No.
Because we're asking.
You don't want to jinx it.
Yeah, you just say like, hey, what about the weather? And like, shh, everyone's just like, don't even talk about it. But
let's just get started here.
Hopefully they get it in. Now, I don't know that you're the hugest race fan, Swanee, but do you have a pick for today's race?
No, not offhand.
It's great to see some history.
I don't, but this is part of American history, the Indy 500 is, and what a source of pride for us, Dane, to be a part of the radio station that was the first broadcast of, that gave the first broadcast of the Indy 500.
You know, whenever we mention that, that is, there's only one, right? There's only one that can be that first ever in an event that is so global. It is the world's largest, one-day sporting event. And to have, there's 24, I think, countries represented here on the driver's side. I'm sure all the countries probably represented on the fan side. 350,000 people, maybe pushing 400 with the infield. So, yeah, just a bunch here. And then to have us intertwined, writing that history right from the beginning is pretty cool, Swanee.
It sure is, and it's always great to have you doing our pre-race coverage here as we get into a little over a minute now before we join the network and get underway.
Yeah, thanks, Swanee. I appreciate it. Have a great rest of your day and
you
a weekend.
You too, Dane.
All right, so coming up, as we're getting close to it, we have so many different storylines. We've highlighted a few of them on here today. Elio Castroneves on the drive for five, looking to go ahead and win that and be alone on that whole immortality side. And then you've got Catherine Legg, where she is the first woman to ever attempt the double, which is the race where you finish the Indy 500, and then you fly to Charlotte for the Coca-Cola 600. She's got the talent to do it. She's certainly finished the race here. And then she's hopefully, you know, if the weather agrees and they get the race done, she's doing well as NASCAR as well. Well, stay tuned. We're going to wrap it up. Stay tuned for Mark James and the IndyCar radio team with the epic wall-to-wall coverage of the 110th running of the Indianapolis 500. The greatest spectacle in racing heard right here on the original radio voice of the Indy 500, 720 WGN.